It's the Confluence, where the news comes together on 90.5 WESA. I'm Kevin Gavin. The 85-year-old Pittsburgh Playhouse has a new artistic director. Point Park University has appointed veteran actor, writer, director Stephen Brees to that position and also to be dean of the university's Conservatory of Performing Arts. Stephen Brees, welcome to Pittsburgh and to the Confluence.
Thank you so much, Kevin. It's great to be here.
Your tenure begins today, so what's first on your agenda?
Well, this is first. It's great to be here. Well, I'm anxious to meet the students. I'm anxious to meet the faculty. They're coming back in a couple of weeks. First on my agenda will be the students. Mm-hmm. Clearly, as the dean and as the artistic director, the students are central. And I can't wait to meet who they are, what get to know their talents, get to know the individuals, but also getting to know the staff of the Playhouse. And that begins today.
You've performed, you've directed, you've also been in education, having been at Long Island University. What about this job, though, appeal to you?
This job merges both what I do as an artist and what I've done as an artist and what I've done as an educator. It's an unusual job that way, to be both the artistic director as well as the dean. So I get a chance to pursue both of my passions simultaneously. It's unusual. In fact, if you look at all the jobs that are offered in this range nationwide, this one might be the most unique. And when it was advertised, I took the advertisement home and I showed it to my wife and I said, what do you think? And she looked at me and said, you've just got to apply for this job. And Pittsburgh, I was born in Ohio, and Pittsburgh is a city that I know very well. And I found it to be an absolutely perfect opportunity to come to a place that I like and to do the work that I love.
So meeting the students and the staff, number one priority. But what do you think those first few weeks, few months will look like?
Well, first, got to learn, right? Mm-hmm. There's so much about the culture I have to learn. And the Playhouse, this magnificent new structure, this magnificent new building, you know, how it runs, how it works, how the staff interacts with this new building. So the first few weeks and months will be about that, about working with the staff and the faculty to learn what makes it run well, and how we can do it better. The team that is already in place at the Playhouse has proved themselves over time as being an outstanding group. So integrating into that team and being part of that team and growing the artistic work and the educational work through the interactions with this outstanding staff will be my first priority. And that will take weeks and months. But we then will be in the process shortly thereafter of choosing a season for next year. And that gets where the fun part. That's the fun part.
You'll be overseeing the university's Performing Arts Center, the conservatory's dance, cinema, theater arts, such a variety of performing arts. Is that exciting or maybe a bit daunting?
Everything in the arts is a challenge and an excitement simultaneously. That's what keeps us involved with the arts. Mm-hmm. So yes, it's a big job. And yes, there's a lot to this job. But again, the staff that has been here will help me and will help frame the ideas that I have that I'm bringing in, the new ideas. And I'm confident that the work that will be done over the next weeks and months will allow us to bring the job into focus. But you're right. It's a big job, and it's an excitement.
Sometimes we might not have a full appreciation of what we have here, especially some natives like myself. So what sort of reputation does the Playhouse and even Point Park's role in the performing arts have elsewhere in the country?
Well, Point Park has, over the past 10 years, really established an outstanding reputation in the arts community. We're known already as one of the best undergraduate dance programs in the country, top five. The musical theater program is in the top 10. In fact, a couple of years ago, there were more students on Broadway that graduated from Point Park than any other university in the country.
So you're smiling when you say that.
Yes, I am. It has grown an outstanding reputation over the past 10 years. And I think that there's nothing but progress in the future that looks like we will be able to continue to do this. So the reputation already is established, but it's a young university still. And so there's lots to do.
The Playhouse is next season already planned, including a world premiere of the musical Pump Up the Volume. Also a production of Parade, which is based on the true story of the lynching of a Jewish man in the South. Since it's already in place, what advice, direction, supervision will you be giving?
Well, as artistic director, I will be overseeing the work, mm-hmm. but the directors are in place and the designers are in place. And so, therefore, a lot of my work will be just helping to them to do their job better. I don't intend to come in to make any wholesale changes. Certainly, that isn't my job at this point. The position will be, I'll be in a position of helping, of augmenting the work that they're doing, of supporting these outstanding artists, the designers, the directors, and where I can, you know, put my hand in to help stir the mix a little bit and hopefully create better art.
Any particular production you're looking forward to?
I think Parade is maybe the most exciting choice of the new season. Much Ado is also a great choice. Adding Machine, the musical, is a great choice. But Parade has a lot of elements that speak to our culture right now. And I think that it's a powerful piece. Rob Ashford's coming in to direct it. That's a Tony Award-winning Rob Ashford, mm-hmm. Elsa Point Park graduate. And I'm very excited that Pittsburgh's going to have a chance to see this great piece of theater.
Of course, you'll have the opportunity to operate in the still very new Playhouse facility downtown. What does that mean for you, but maybe more importantly, for the current students and maybe even as a recruitment tool for future students?
Always the facilities help recruit students. There's no question about that. But finally, it's the work you do in the facilities that makes the difference. So while the facilities are outstanding and an attractive part of this job, the simple truth is it's the interaction between the faculty and the students that's where the learning takes place. And if you have a better place to do that learning, so much the better. But I've worked in all kinds of institutions, new facilities. I've worked at facilities that needed work. And we still have similar outcomes with our students because that learning is an interactive, an intersection, a communication that happens in the classroom. When you surround yourself with fantastic venues, you can do it better. But I'm excited that the students are going to get a chance to move forward in a highly professional venue with great faculty and staff.
It's The Confluence on 90.5 WESA. I'm Kevin Gavin. Our guest is Stephen Breese, who starts today as the Artistic Director of Point Park University's Pittsburgh Playhouse and Dean of the Conservatory of Performing Arts. Stephen, what's your approach to working with students and how they combine the learning, the hard work at their craft, and maybe still have some fun?
Students know how to have fun, so that's never a problem. Okay. The conservatory and anyone who's learning to improve their craft in the arts needs to have great studios. And the work that happens in the studio is what I'm focused on. So whether you're in cinema or dance or theater, there's going to be that close interaction in the studio environment. And the studio as a laboratory. The laboratory that is experiential. So you're doing and learning simultaneously. The arts have always done this, right? Learning through doing. But to have these great laboratories where you have a lot of one-on-one experience with the faculty is really my focus. And that's what a conservatory environment is. And Point Park does it very, very well.
Seems like almost an incubator for our future artists.
Absolutely. Incubator is a great word for it because it really is taking these young, talented people coming in who want to learn the craft. And that's important to note, that artists are those individuals that really are excited about learning new things. And you put them in that incubator, in that studio environment, and the magic can happen pretty quickly. And within a 4-year period, you watch these students coming in with talent, but without a lot of skill sometimes, coming 4 years later out the other end with the same amount of talent and it being polished and having a very skillful way to present their art to the public and to other professionals.
So many artistic offerings. Many have their seasons set, but others, if you look online, look a little more idle. I'm thinking of the Repertory Theater program in particular. What's its status?
The status right now is that we are dedicated to ensuring that the rep has a great life now and well into the future. How that happens and when we were able to really create the environment which is right to move the rep forward, that's to be determined. Again, today's my first day, right, Kevin. All right. We'll know a lot more in just a few weeks.
Is there a possibility for changes at the rep or even other programs in the near future, or is that to be determined as well?
I think that the exploration over the next the coming weeks will really be will tell the tale. Mm-hmm.
Do you know yet how you'll manage the finances, especially with a new facility on the books?
Well, part of my job will be fundraising. There's no question about it. And I always tell people that if you like fundraising and you like spending time talking to potential donors, people who want to do good things with their money, if you like that, you will be a good fundraiser. So part of my job will be to look at external constituencies and help them find a way to help the university. I have no doubt that we'll be successful in that area. Partly because the president and the presidential vision, Paul Hennigan's vision, has been, you know, already been realized in some ways. But there's much, much more to do now that we have the facilities in place. So I'm looking forward to talking to people about what we can do together to improve the university.
You used the word challenge earlier in our conversation. What challenges or challenge are you most excited to take on?
I think continuing to raise the bar of our artistic offerings in all areas is the challenge for all artistic directors. It's a big challenge. It's one that we always take on willingly, and I believe that that is the challenge in the next 5 years, where we're looking at the Playhouse that is offering year-round entertainment, year-round art, artistic work, and a variety of artistic work with a diverse group of actors and dancers and cinematographers and filmmakers. I think that's the biggest challenge in the next 5 years.
Less than a minute left. Any sage advice that you got when you were an aspiring artist, or advice you wish you had received that you hope to impress upon your students at Point Park?
Listen carefully to those who know the work. Everyone will tell you in the arts what they think, but choose your mentors and listen carefully to what their advice is, and I think you'll be just fine.
Absorb everything you hear?
Well, from those who are knowledgeable, yes.
All right. Stephen Breese starts today as the Artistic Director of Point Park University's Pittsburgh Playhouse and Dean of the Conservatory of Performing Arts. Thanks for coming in, and best wishes, Stephen.
Great to be here, Kevin. Thank you.
I'm Kevin Gavin. You're listening to The Confluence on 90.5 WESA.
I'm Kylie Kaczynski. Still ahead on The Confluence. A group of local high schoolers have released an album that addresses topics like mental health, getting into trouble, and the future. And the goal of the YWCA has always been to empower girls and women while fighting for racial and social justice, but that mission is intensifying. Hear from local and national leaders about the group's evolution in a politically contentious time. What conversations would you like to hear on The Confluence? Email us at confluence@wesa.fm. Get conversations, stories, and more from this and past episodes of the show at wesa.fm/confluence.
President Trump says he's doing a great job on the environment. So, is he? This is the Allegheny Front Environment Update. I'm Reed Frazier. At a recent speech in the White House, President Trump took a break from talking about the border, Democrats, and the media. He talked about the environment, specifically his own record in keeping the country's air and water clean.
Emissions are projected to drop in 2019 and 2020. We're doing a very tough job, and not everybody knows it, and that's one of the reasons we're here today to speak to you.
For our podcast, Trump on Earth, we fact-checked this speech with Rebecca Lieber of Mother Jones Magazine. She said Trump's speech was an exercise in gaslighting the public by creating a misleading impression of his environmental record.
One thing that Trump has generally done in these in claiming all these successes is say, well, look at the U.S. a half century ago, we're doing much better off. And that, of course, has nothing to do with Trump. if anything, he's tried to take the EPA in the complete opposite direction. The other thing he's doing when he talks about clean air and water is he's ignoring climate pollution. Of course, this is a White House that doesn't like to talk about climate change, but he is completely ignoring that carbon pollution and methane is still spiking in the U.S. and globally. Those are really alarming trends considering the time we have to fight climate change. And just the last year, U.S. emissions went up again after a few years of that stalling or even declining a little bit. And that's a piece of this Trump is completely ignoring.
He brought up a number of cabinet members whose purview touches on the environment. And he also brought up Andrew Wheeler.
Now I'd like to invite Administrator Andrew Wheeler up. He's at the EPA. He's doing a fantastic job.
From 1970 to 2018, U.S. criteria air pollution fell 74%, while the economy grew by 275%. Under your administration, emissions of all the criteria air pollutants continue to decline.
They have looked at ozone standards, and basically ozone and smog has gotten better in the last few decades, but it still means unhealthy air for tens of millions of Americans. And the science over the last few years shows that actually the levels that the EPA has previously considered safe, or at least their standard, are still far too high. They're still unhealthy and triggering for sensitive populations. And the Trump administration has undermined those standards. They've also pulled back on environmental enforcement, which is another huge piece beyond the deregulation that they've undertaken by dropping civil penalties 85% last year. I think the other thing he's doing when he says, look how great the environment is doing, he's trying to build a case for no more regulation, saying, well, we did our job, we're done. Now let's just worry about the economy.
Rebecca Lieber covers the environment for Mother Jones Magazine. There's more of that interview at TrumpOnEarth.org. That's the Allegheny Front Environment Update. I'm Reed Frazier.
It's The Confluence on 90.5 WESA. I'm Kevin Gavin. A group of Pittsburgh high schoolers has spent the summer channeling questions, beliefs, and hopes into music. 90.5 WESA Sarah Schneider brings us this story about the hip-hop group The Crunk Movement, which makes music through the nonprofit Center of Life.
In the basement of Hazelwood Church, booming drums and a bass line reverberate off of the walls. Students sit behind a mixing board on a velvet couch and office chairs as the band and dancers practice. The sound carries up the stairs to the attic, where teenagers cut tracks in a studio. More than 20 students from high schools around the area have spent time after school writing, producing, and performing this past year. They released an album in May called Thinking Out Loud and continued to make new music and perform after the school year ended. The songs reflect their lived experiences. They sing and rap about mental health, getting in trouble, and planning for the future. They're teenagers, so as 18-year-old Dre Gordon says, they write a lot about falling in love.
Everyone thinks they're in love. So a lot of the songs for a lot of time were about relationships and love and how to get through that.
Lyrics about social justice are woven through the album. Gordon helped write the song Choices. It explores gun violence. Margaret, slavery feels like it's starting. Too many kings getting killed like Martin. You are getting whipped if you miss. They've also done their research on the people who shaped hip-hop culture.
We learn about Bone Thugs and Harmony, you know, the big names, Snoop Dogg, all of them. And like what they were working with and how what they did affected how everything is today.
That's 17-year-old Amani House. She joined the group as a singer, but she transitioned to rapping. She's also a writer and says she's mindful of the artists who influence her work.
So when you're doing this, Are you disrespecting the craft? What are you doing to show respect for the people that created it and that hold it dearly?
She worked on a song called Heaven that explores existence and the possibility of an afterlife.
Sometimes you don't want to be here. You just want to be somewhere where you can just let it all go. And it's like paradise, you know?
Spiritual themes often surface in the music, like in another Gordon song, yeah. Daily Prayers.
Yeah. I need separation. Yeah. I need meditation. Whoa. All that tugger, heard they keep my name in conversation. I need honeys, can't go lower.
That kind of musical expression is what Tim Smith wanted when he formed the group 15 years ago. He leads the Center of Life in Hazelwood.
With hip-hop, it's almost a rule that you listen to the lyrics because hip-hop is about words and beats.
Over time, he has watched the program evolve as students became more justice-focused.
They're dealing with suicide. They're dealing with, you know, rape, you know, teen pregnancy. They're dealing with drugs. I mean, they're hitting these things in extremely creative ways.
Smith is in the early stages of starting a management and production company to represent people who come through the organization. In the meantime, the Crunk Movement music can be found on Spotify. Regardless of what comes next, Smith says these students now have an outlet to express themselves. The seniors of the group recently held an emotional end-of-season concert where they invited the community to celebrate with them. I'm Sarah Schneider, 90.5 WESA News.
Living a life for good to be young. Living a life for good to be young.
You're listening to The Confluence on 90.5 WESA. It's The Confluence, where the news comes together on 90.5 WESA. I'm Kevin Gavin. The first chapter of the YWCA in the United States was founded in 1858. A decade later, the Pittsburgh area chapter was created. Since then, the organization has been addressing social justice issues impacting girls and women. Joining us in studio to discuss the future of the organization regionally and nationally, Janine Woods, who was recently named as CEO of the YWCA of Greater Pittsburgh, Alejandra Castillo, CEO of YWCA USA, and also Sylvia Fields, Executive Director of the Eden Hall Foundation. She is a member of the Board of Directors for YWCA USA. Welcome to all of you. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
It's exciting.
Thank you so much.
Exciting to be here.
Janine, let's start with you. You've worked for Fortune 500 companies as well as in the nonprofit world. What about the opportunity to lead the Pittsburgh area chapter of the YWCA appeal to you?
Well, everything about it appealed to me. I like the idea of fighting for, working for social justice and working on behalf of women's issues, women and girls' issues. And I also like the idea of standing for social justice. So it kind of combines all the things that I have the greatest interest in into one position. And so I grew up in the civil rights era, and I'm the daughter of a civil rights activist. And so I grew up in the movement, so it's sort of a natural kind of fit for me.
In your blood.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm.
Sylvia.
Yes.
You were on the search committee, were you not?
I was,
and
yes.
So what about her made her the right fit, that Janine was the one?
A number of things, but what really stood out to me is her eagerness to be a part of this organization and to really advocate for women and girls and the issues that affect them.
Mm-hmm. I want to know about how the national organization, Alejandra, works with local chapters. Can you explain how that happens?
Sure. So we're a federated model, which is a model where each YWCA is its own 501c3. Nonetheless, the issue here is that we all come together under one mission. And that mission is to eliminate racism and empower women. Mm-hmm. We just completed our strategic plan for the national organization, which is giving us that North Star. These are exciting times. And when you have 210 associations in 46 states and the District of Columbia, we want to make sure that we're all marching in one single, towards one single goal, and that goal is to be change makers, to be problem solvers in communities, to really address the needs, not of women from 1858, but from women of 2019. So we honor our history, we celebrate our history, but we're also a very forward-looking organization.
Sylvia, you're in a unique position because you are a native Pittsburgher, but you have ties, obviously, as a board member of the YWCA USA, but also you're very, very familiar with YWCA Greater Pittsburgh. So explain your understanding, your impression of that important connection between national and the local chapters.
It's everything. National provides a lot of support. The locals are kind of the boots on the ground, if you will, that actually executes the mission at ground level. The board provides the overall structure that keeps that network together.
And if I may, I just want to chime in, because what's important here is to not have this national local division. It's to work as a very seamless, synergistic organization. We're here to support our associations. We're here to shore them up, to share information, to share knowledge, so that there is never a break in the communication or in the mission.
And Janine, how will you be part of that, you know, that seamless effort moving forward?
So I plan to work very closely with our board of directors. We have a great board of directors. We have great support systems here in the Pittsburgh area. And with the support of our national office in Washington, D.C. through Alejandra, I know that we can get the services and support for the services that we have from the national office. And so we'll just keep moving forward as we look around and see what the needs are. But we hope it's seamless. But, you know, we're going to just try every day to kind of just make things happen and keep everything in perspective, because we have a lot to do. But we plan to, you know, just kind of push forward and work really hard with the support of our team. We should be able to do that. We've got a great staff as well. And so, you know, mm-hmm. I think that that's the most we can do moving forward.
And I think as we welcome and onboard Janine into our sisterhood, and we like to talk about the sisterhood, is to make sure that she's connected not just with national, but with other YWCAs that are in communities of similarly situated circumstance. I will also tell you that in terms of the forward-looking approaches, we're becoming an organization that's much more data-driven. Just to tell you, that we just released our GIS mapping project, which tells you not only our impact in the communities that we are in, but also the unmet need that we are positioning ourselves to meet. We also have started a exchange-traded fund. We're one of the first nonprofits to be traded on the New York Stock Exchange with the ticker Women, WOMN. Mm-hmm. And we also launched a podcast. So we're making sure not only that we're delivering services, but that we're reaching the non-traditional stakeholders that have a role to play. And I think that's the message, if I may, to leave your audiences. We have a role to play. Everyone has a role to play. You just can't sit on the sideline and think that society is going to improve by complaining about it or finger-pointing. If you're not in this effort, please join us. YWCA needs the help of every member of the community.
Janine, I know you've just been on the job for a very short time, but what does it mean for the people that you are working with and you will be working with in the future?
Well, it means that they have an advocate in us. It means that we are by their side to help solve the problems that they deal with on a day-to-day basis, especially women of color and women from disenfranchised communities. We want to help solve the issues that affect them most, the issues of, you know, of health, the issues of socioeconomic disparities, the issues of domestic violence. They face a lot of things, and they need to know that we're there to support them. Discrimination is real. You know, the medical crisis they face is real. The socioeconomic crisis they face is real, and we are partners with them in that. We want to help resolve those issues. We want to solve those problems, and we want every woman to know that's listening, no matter her color, her age, her socioeconomic background, all women are welcome at the YWCA. We want to be partners with them in meeting their needs, and we're very serious about that. This is a mission for us. This is not a job. This is the work that we've been called to do, and we are here to serve. And the people outside those doors of that building that I'm on Wood Street, for example, are the people who we really work for. Those people outside those doors are the ones who we're working to help meet those needs.
It's The Confluence on 90.5 WESA. I'm Kevin Gavin. Our guests are Janine Woods, the new CEO of the YWCA of Greater Pittsburgh, Alejandra Castillo, CEO of the YWCA USA, and Sylvia Fields, a member of the board of the national organization. Has the mission intensified on the issues of racial and social justice in recent years?
I would say absolutely. One, because the conversation is now, you can't hide this conversation. It is critical. It is the essence as a nation of what we need to address if we're going to move forward. I mean, the census data tells us the diversity in our country is something that we should definitely not only recognize but celebrate. But the conversation is difficult. And what one of the things that we also invite people to come to our doors, because we're a safe place to have these discussions, to be able to address and also find solutions.
So is the organization, whether at the national level or the local chapters, getting more political?
What I would say is we are continuing to be true to who we are. We've always stood on the right side of history. We stood at Ellis Island in 1858 welcoming immigrant women. We fought for the eight-hour workday. We created the first child care center. We have been always at the forefront, and today we hold true to that. Yeah. So when we continue to see these type of comments and feel these attacks, and I'll tell you, as somebody whose name is Alejandra Castillo, when I hear somebody say, go back home, where? Corona, Queens? That is something that I take great umbrage. Or when the census says is going to include a citizenship question, we know that right now we're fighting for the soul of this country. So not only, I wouldn't say we're getting political, but we're continuing to stand up when we see injustice.
Yeah. Sylvia. Yes.
And that is not a new thing. We were established to do that. We've been doing it for 160 years, be it marching in and demonstrating with signs against lynching and doing it at risk of bodily harm themselves. We have numerous pictures of women back in the 30s and 20s with the long black dresses on and the big fancy hats with the signs saying, lynching is wrong. Stop. So we have always been on the forefront. It isn't always pleasant. People weren't always happy with us. But as Alejandra has said, we were on the right side of history.
Yes, absolutely. On the right side of history and on the right side of history and on the right side of the justice issue, the social justice movement. And whether it's called civil rights or social justice or whatever, when we see things that are wrong, then we need to be brave enough to speak up and try to correct those. Because if I don't fight for my daughter, I can't fight for yours. And so, you know, we all need to just work together and support each other, because all lives matter, black lives matter, and no one group is ostracized, and all people should work together for the betterment of society. And I think it was Dr. King that said, the only way to block out darkness is with light. And so I think that, and that's a paraphrase, but I think that the YWCA is the light that's needed to combat darkness, and darkness is inequality for folks, and that's just wrong.
It's The Confluence on 90.5 WESA. I'm Kevin Gavin. We're speaking with Alejandra Castillo, CEO of the YWCA USA. Janine Woods is the new CEO of the YWCA of Greater Pittsburgh. And Sylvia Fields is a member of the board of the national organization. Janine, earlier this year, it was announced that the Pittsburgh YWCA lost $67 million in state funding to manage Early Learning Resource Center for the County Department of Human Services. That resulted in a loss of more than 60 jobs. How will you restructure after that large cut in funding?
Well, we're looking to the future, and we're excited about what lies ahead. We've got some great programs on the horizon. We've got a wonderful support system here with the philanthropic community, which I hope only continues to grow. We've got a solid, you know, great group of board members, and we've got a solid staff in place. And so we're moving forward. We're looking forward to the future, and we know that a lot of work lies ahead, but we're ready for that challenge. So we're just moving forward.
I'm sure a lot of people want to know, because of your child care programs that the local has done, will you continue to offer that? Do you plan to do so?
Yes, we still have childcare offerings. We have the Homewood site. It's beautiful. And so I encourage people to go by there and check it out. So we're still in the childcare business, and it's lovely. Mm-hmm. But we're also expanding our services, our scope of services, to include more women and girls programs. We're also looking at supporting the elderly female population. That's oftentimes an overlooked population. And, of course, we're looking to be on the forefront of all social justice issues that may arise, ready to march and do what things we need to do to stand by our sisters in solidarity.
The YMCA of Greater Pittsburgh has struggled with financial troubles, including bankruptcy. To clarify, is there any formal relationship between your organization, the YWCA, and the YMCA nationally or in any other chapters? Can you help us out there?
There is no formal relationship. What there is relationship of legacy. If you transport yourself 160 years ago, there was the YMCA for men, the YWCA for women. Our trajectories have really changed. We're not a health and fitness place. We are a social service. We are direct services. We actually like to say that not all YWCAs have pools, but we help women when they feel like they're drowning. So our mission is to elevate and uplift women through the programs, through the advocacy. And we are collegial. We're collaborative. But we don't have any formal linkages.
Janine,
yes.
What can you do to make sure that the YWCA is known not by any association to any other organization, but through its own merits, what it does?
Mm-hmm. I think that's a good question. And I think that the way we do that is to continue to, you know, tell our story, connect with the community of Pittsburgh, invite people to our locations and take tours and come, you know, see what we do, sit down with us, come to our panel discussions, be a part of our board, and support us any way they can, because we want to be a part of this community. We want to work collaboratively. And I know that if people just come and see what we do, they'll know what our role is and what our place is in this city and this beautiful community.
And finally, Janine, again, it's only been a short time since you've been on the job. What are you most excited about?
Well, I'm excited to be here in this beautiful city, that's for sure. And I'm excited to be working with a great group of people and a board that believes in the mission. And I'm excited about the issues that we have to address, because even though some of those are very challenging issues, they're issues that we need to look at and see how we can be a support system. You have issues of women not being paid equal pay for the work that they do. We have to address that. We have issues of child care needs in this community. We have socioeconomic issues for women, women of color in particular, or elderly women. There are a lot of things that we need to do to help move the bar so that there's more equality. And when people are healthier and happier, they're better, they're more productive, they're happier, their children are happier. It impacts generations. So when we serve the women now, we're really serving families for generations to come. When we serve them in the best way possible, when we work to meet their holistic needs, we're doing that for generations. And so we're here to make a difference in the lives of women. And I know that we will do that as we address these tough issues. And I hope that we continue to have the support of the people of Pittsburgh, because sometimes, you know, we may not be as popular, or people may not always agree with some thoughts that we might have or some stands that we may take, but we are always open for discussion and conversation. And we want people to come to us from the community and talk about what their needs are and what the issues are in their neighborhoods and their community, so that we can be there to serve them, because we are servant leaders. And this is mission work for us. It's not a job. It's a mission.
Janine Woods is the new CEO of the YWCA of Greater Pittsburgh. Alejandra Castillo is the CEO of YWCA USA. And Sylvia Fields, Executive Director of the Eden Hall Foundation. She's a member of the Board of Directors for YWCA USA. Thanks so much to all of you for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
It was lovely.
Thank you.
And for today, that is The Confluence, where the news comes together on 90.5 WESA. Next time, his robots have helped in the cleanup of Three Mile Island and Chernobyl. They've climbed into active volcanoes, and they're driving cars around Pittsburgh. Now his robots are going to the moon. A conversation with the preeminent creator of robots, Red Whitaker. If you missed anything from today's program, or you'd like to catch up on past shows, please visit WESA.fm/confluence or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Today's program was engineered and produced by Kylie Kaczynski. Production assistance by Julia Zenkovich, Julia Maruka, and Hannah Gaskill. The editor and producer of The Confluence is Megan Harris. I'm Kevin Gavin. Until next time, hope you have a good day of good news.